Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the show. It's brought to you in association with Levi Solicitors, who will offer you a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Today, talking about somebody who made his debut for Leeds in November 2002 as just a wee baby. He's just played his 600th Premier League game, which puts him fourth overall in the list of Premier League appearances behind Gareth Barry, who's at the top with 653, Ryan Giggs and Frank Lampard.
It's not fair that Milner has to share a list with those people. No offence to Gareth Barry. I'm sure he's a perfectly acceptable human being, but the other two, honestly.
But I'm Dan
Strike them from the list.
I'm Dan Moylan, and I'm here with Michael Normanson, who you just heard from then, and Rob Conlon to do the TSB guide to James Milner.
Terry Venables' team needed something special. Step forward midfielder James Milner, 16 years, 356 days old, and has just become the Premiership's youngest ever scorer. Wayne Rooney's record lasted just over 2 months.
Good. Beat his record. We'll get round to all that. This is a child that grew up in Horsforth. Let's talk very quickly about Horsforth as a leafy suburb of northwest Leeds.
It's nice, isn't it, Horsforth?
It is, very civilised.
I couldn't afford to live there.
Yeah, I was training for the charity walk. I would often find myself walking through Horsforth and thinking, oh, it'd be nice to live there.
Many nice pubs you stopped at?
Quite a few, actually. But then again, it comes out of time to move and thought, no, can't afford it here.
Accessible for the airport as well, which is always good.
Mm-hmm.
Heard about a big drugs raid up there, which is a different story for a different day. But I'll tell you about that off air afterwards. Nothing to do with James Milner. He was one of those kids who, he was good at everything by the sounds of it. We're talking Yorkshire schools cricket team, as well as being obviously good at football. He was a cross-country champion, also a sprint champion. So fast over short distances, good over long distances. Were you good at everything, Michael?
I was.
What were you good at?
That's a good question.
Wait, can I throw cricket at you?
Oh, fuck no, absolutely not.
Football?
We didn't even play cricket at my school. We played it for like 1 week every summer. So if you had never played it before, you're basically absolutely shit at it because you just put your pads on and then like have three swings at it and then that'd be it. that's cricket for this year. Don't worry about it.
Then you're in the shower.
Yeah, exactly.
So try to hide your hairless body.
But no, I was good at that, really. Truth
not,
be told.
Not cross-country or sprinting?
No, not fast or slow.
just disappointingly average. What about you, Rob?
I mean, I played rugby league because I was crap at football. So, not quite on James Milner's level.
Did you get 11 GCSEs like James Milner?
I can't remember how many I got.
I did 8.
It's a very footballery thing, isn't it, that you remember your GCSEs? I feel like Frank Lampard talks about it a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he cheated. He went to a private school. I'm not going to give Lampard any credit, just to be clear.
Yeah, he was a clever boy, James Milner. 11 GCSEs is not to be sniffed at. Like I said, I did 8. You could just sort of do 8 or 9 back in the day when I was there doing them. So 11 feels like more.
Mm. It's definitely more than I've got. I've got 8 as well, I think.
Yeah.
But no, it's enough, isn't it? It's enough.
Didn't even know there were 11 GCSEs. Certainly not in Bradford. He would have been a success at anything he chose to do, said Steve Weeks, who was the head of the, again, maths department. He was good at maths as well.
Yeah, said he could have gone to any university. So he was level-headed, unassuming. He had a lovely sense of humour. He never bragged or anything. It's good that the young James Milner is so in keeping with the man that he is now. He's obviously everything was absolutely set at like when he was like 12, and he's just completely stuck with it.
He hasn't wasted his maths, though, is he? That's an important thing to
ask. I was going to say, it's translated into his book where he was asked how many bottles of Ribena does it take to fill up the European Cup? Because he famously said he was celebrating Liverpool winning the Champions League with a glass of Ribena. And to be fair to him, he's really worked it out, which I won't go into all the detail because it's quite a long answer, but he concludes, he works out that it's 36 litres, but he concludes, if I poured 36 litres of undiluted Ribena into the European Cup, it would seriously tarnish the silver. Trust me, you don't want to go there.
So he's not only has he answered the question from a maths point of view, but he's got it from a moral standpoint, like you don't want to damage anyone's property.
And like a good Yorkshireman, he's worked out the price as well. So he's based on that ratio to fill the European Cup, I would need 8 litres of Ribena cordial and 28 litres of water. That means 16 bottles of undiluted cordial. And with that knowledge, you're probably better off buying 10 of the 850 millilitre bottles, slightly better value that way, and you'll have half a litre left over for later.
He's thought of everything. That's a man after your heart, that is, Michael, isn't it?
Yeah, well, apart from the maths bit, I'm glad he's worked out the costs, though. That's worth doing.
Where were we at the time then? That's the question. So we're going back effectively 20 years now, because he has celebrated his 20 years, 600 appearances in the Premier League, which we can timestamp as the back end of 2002.
We were shambles, is the short answer of where we were.
Were we? Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Terry Venables was manager. That was good. It was exciting for a little bit.
Started well.
Sold Rio Ferdinand, but other than that, squad can stay together.
Did we realistically hope to qualify for the Champions League again?
I think we did.
At that start of that season.
That's why O'Leary was sacked for failing to qualify.
Yeah.
Because we finished fifth, which was terrible. And we needed to get back in the top four. And, you know, we only had to sell Rio Ferdinand. Certainly weren't going to be selling Decor, Woodgate, Bowyer, Robbie Keane, Robbie Fowler. Certainly won't be selling those by the end of that season.
Starting to feel like they went a bit off message from the whole Champions League vibe at the start of the season there.
Yeah, it became quite clear. I think after like two games, we started losing matches. And it was like, okay, yeah, that's not going to be happening this year. But yeah, James Milner was good.
Yeah, it's worth just finishing that thought that by the middle of March, that's when Venables had gone and was replaced by Peter Reid, and we ended up just on that downward spiral of struggle that went into the season afterwards when we started bringing in all the low knees from Willie Mackay, and you know what happened after that.
Yeah, so it wasn't great. But Milner at this time, I was trying to work this out. I think he might have been the first Leeds player who was younger than me to score a goal, which feels significant in some way.
Yeah.
You know, like, is that sort of the crossing of a line into becoming an adult. It's like, Leeds have got players younger than me now.
Yeah,
this is weird.
I always remember like when you were...
A little bit like Lee Chapman for you or something.
being a kid, but being in Elland Road and shouting, go on, son, but people who were older than me. But gradually now they've all got younger and younger as I've got older and yeah.
I think Sam Byron was the one for me. I remember watching him score from the cop and thinking, oh.
That dream has died.
Yeah, so his debut actually was the 10th of November 2002. League game away at West Ham. Old West Ham, not Olympic Stadium West Ham.
Yeah, good West Ham.
Yeah. West Ham.
Sort of horrible West Ham, but, yeah. But better.
But it had an edge, but in a good way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So he came on, about 5-6 minutes to go. Jason Wilcox was the guy who went off. One of our legendary left wingers, Jason Wilcox. He was a good solid signing, was Wilcox, actually, but that's an episode for a different day, isn't it? So he was the second youngest player to play in the Premier League behind...
Did anyone know this? I found this out while doing a little bit of research.
I don't know.
That's Gary McSheffrey.
Fuck off. Really?
Yeah.
Former Leeds legend.
Yeah.
Right.
Bloody hell.
Gone on to have quite a different career.
Who was he playing for at the time?
Coventry, no?
Coventry it will have been.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Another quiz question. Can you name the Leeds youth team captain that James Milner would clean the boots of?
Oh, so he was cleaning the boots of a youth team captain?
Yes, this was in an Athletic article the other week, I think.
God, I can't think.
So we've been coming through around 2000, youth team captain 2000.
I'd never heard of him myself.
All right. Okay. I'll go on and just tell us.
A guy called Alan Kinsella.
Oh, big A, big A
I
dog.
I do remember the name, but yeah.
Irish prospect, apparently. Mm. But yeah.
This, of course, is the same season that Rooney's broken through, another teenage sensation at Everton, who was kind of, he was more interesting, I think, to the media because he was up front and scoring goals and blah, 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 blah.
There was stuff about Rooney as well in the press ahead of his debut. It was like, oh, Everton have got this kid who's like a striker, but plays like Paul Gascoigne and he's going to be the next big thing. And in fairness, he was. Like, he came on that same season, he came on at Elland Road and scored, I think Everton beat us. But he came on and within about 5 minutes, he like left backer on his arse and then ran into the box and round Lucas and put it in the bottom corner. It was like, yeah, he's pretty good, actually. Yeah.
There was an anecdote in I think it was the Athletic article about, I think Milner was on the bench that day or he was part of the squad but unused. And after the game, one of the Leeds coaches sort of came up and tapped him on the shoulder and he's like, you're desperate to be that guy, aren't you? And he was saying, like, you know, you're actually closer than you actually realise to doing that. And it was only a few weeks later, was it, when he comes on then and scores on Boxing Day in a 2-1 win at Sunderland to steal Rooney's record.
Which is, I mean, again, let's face it, we all loved that because it was something for us.
Yeah, and as we've said, it wasn't a season that was going brilliantly for us either. And I think as well, it fitted nicely into the illusion that things might be all right again because we still had really good young players coming through,
yeah,
which is something that obviously we'd had with kind of Alan Smith, Johnny Woodgate, Harry Kewell crop. And then there'd been a couple of years gap, hadn't there, to Milner.
Mm.
And it was like, oh, okay, there were still players coming through. And I think Aaron Lennon was kind of being talked about at this point as well, who also has just retired, actually, hasn't he? But, well, who has just retired. James Milner's not retired, to be clear. But I don't care if I will either, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, it was like there was, it felt like a positive thing that there was someone else coming through who could maybe get us out of the slight hole that we were getting into at this point.
But much like, I guess, Archie Gray is at the minute, or he was, it'll be on like, would have been on schoolboy terms at this time, because he was on like 70 quid a week, wasn't he, when he made his debut?
I don't reckon Archie Gray's on 70 quid a week.
Not anymore.
I don't mean, is that still a thing anymore? I mean,
but they've changed, haven't they? So you can only sign pro terms at 16 or whatever it might be. So he's probably on a damn sight more, but you'd imagine like Milner would have been on a youth contract there. 70 quid a week, 3,640 quid a year, which is it's an average month's energy bills these days.
He talks as well about having to play in the games, and then he was like, had to help the kit man put stuff on the bus because it was kind of part of his job that he was having to do. So you're going on and scoring Premier League goals, and then you're like, well, it doesn't mean you don't have to pick socks up.
We were getting our value out of him, it's fair to say. Yeah.
On sub-minimum wage, I dare say, at that point. Yeah, and he did, as Rob just said, he became the Premier League's youngest goal scorer with that 2-1 goal win at Sunderland on Boxing Day, Merry Christmas and all that. And then he scored again. So this is the point at which we all went, oh. Scored again 2 days later in the 2-0 win over Chelsea at Elland Road.
Backer. United, and no wonder they're all over it. Chelsea couldn't get near to it. And how about the shot? Sweet, sweet 16.
Yeah, Tyler had that line prepared, didn't he? You can tell. Sweet, sweet 16. Not for long though, because
when he said it, I went, ooh.
16-year-old boys. Oh, I haven't thought this through very well. Turned 17 in the January, didn't he? Which means he's due to turn 37 this coming January. Do you remember the photo of the time?
With his birthday cake and Terry, all spotty with his birthday cake.
I mean, he doesn't even look 17, does he? No, he's about 12.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, but that goal against Chelsea, I'm sure most Leeds fans will probably know it. Such a good goal. And it's Marcel Desailly as well. It's World Cup winner, been at the top of the game for a decade at this point. Milner just comes on, dances around him, leaves him on his arse and just curls it into the corner.
There's quotes from Leeds players at the time being like, do you realise you've just done that to a World Cup winner? Because I think it was something that like a lot of the senior players could even dream of.
Mm.
And then he was doing it at 16.
Yeah, 22 appearances that season overall then. But only 3 under Peter Reid. He kind of faded, didn't he? And he didn't feature all in the final 5 games of the season. We're thinking maybe, did he have an injury at that point? Maybe picked up a bit of a knock.
I was trying to work this out. I can't find any reference to it. I mean, I'm guessing it might be because Peter Reid just didn't fancy him too much because he sent him out on loan the season after. And I don't know if maybe, I mean, he was brought in with a remit of saving us from relegation that season with Reid. I don't know if he maybe thought, I'm just going to go to some more reliable, experienced pros.
Well, it brought him some big hitters that summer, though, didn't he?
For
midfield and the wing. Jody Morris on a free. Lamine Sacco. one of the famous loanees, Jermaine Pennant, Salomon Alembe. Was it Alembe who had the best debut ever? And
no, that was Sakho.
That was Sakho. Sorry, yeah. Alembe was the fullback, wasn't it?
Fullback stroke central midfielder option.
And Sakho was the winger. Yeah, again, all looked great early doors, but then it kind of all tailed off very quickly, didn't it?
That was the Mackay influence creeping in there, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, as you said there, before he was sent out on loan to Swindon by Peter Reid, who were in League One.
Which seems weird now to look back at it. Someone who's kind of a Premier League wonder kid and has played 20-odd times in the Premier League, but sounds to League One.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like
you'd get a better move than that these days.
There's interesting parallels, though, with football these days, isn't there? Like Leeds basically hanging on to the likes of Joffe and stuff rather than sending him out on loan, just trying to phase him into the squad. But it was different back then, wasn't it?
I suppose Championship teams didn't rely on loans particularly at that stage, so maybe you had to go a bit lower down the pyramid to get a club who needed someone.
How did he get on there, do you know?
He did well. Good. In his 6 games. Oh. I mean, I didn't find any match reports of it, but he got a couple of goals and then we got him back.
Me and Moscow were looking the other day at the players he was playing with at Swindon, because we're nerds, basically. But he just missed out on playing with Junior Lewis, future Leeds United fame, another Leeds legend that we all feel very proud of.
Missed Dave Hockaday by quite some time, I would guess.
I think Eddie Howe rocked up that season as well, but I think he was just... Milner was there at the start of the season, so he missed him.
Although it's weird when you look at people that James Milner played against. Some really old men in there now. People are like, he's played football with people who are like 60, because he was just around at the end of, tail end of David Seaman and people like that who seem like they retired absolutely hundreds of years ago now.
Yeah, that is funny. That's what you call time.
It's literally time, Dan.
He was back at Elland Road. We lost to Scum, didn't we, on the 18th of October, and then Reid is sacked in November, 11th of November, after a 6-1 defeat at Portsmouth. Do you remember that? That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that season as a whole.
But
doesn't go well.
A brighter future awaits James Milner at Elland Road, because they put him on the posters for the new kit.
And Gerald Krasner, the chairman at the time, says maybe James Milner will be the new Mr. Leeds United. So great promise of a great future.
Draw a line under it there. Sounds good. Good place to end the show. Great.
And then he went on to play 600 games.
But not for us. Yeah, he was sold by July.
Yeah, I think probably like a month later. Although I do like that you found this, that he turned down Spurs.
Apparently so, yeah. He didn't want to move so far away from home.
Got to stay north, hasn't he?
Exactly. It may be too expensive.
Spurs, Villa and Everton all interested in him, but he did turn down Spurs, so he found the report. Newcastle for $5 million, which was another kick in the bollocks off the back of them pinching like Woodgate previous to that. And we were supposed to be in Kieran Dyer. They got him. There was quite a lot of crossover with players at that time, wasn't there?
Yeah, and we were competing with them for those Champions League spots for a couple of years, weren't we? And then we went down, they nicked our good players, and then a few years later, sort of Norwich took their place as being like a shitter version of a team that was nicking all our good players. So, it was that sort of a sad passing to be like, oh, see you then, Newcastle. You go off and enjoy all our good players.
But he's been at quite a few clubs when you look at the post-Leeds record. I'm obviously most interested in his time at Leeds, but it was relatively brief. And it's funny how we've held on to him as one of our own, despite the fact that he left Newcastle because Souness didn't really like him after Bobby Robson was sacked, that he goes to Villa on loan. And when you start getting loaned out at that point, it all feels like it's all heading one way, really, doesn't it? Because he joined O'Leary at Villa.
He's still a very young man at that point, though. I think that's the thing. Because he'd been around and he played for us in the Premier League and he played for Newcastle in the Premier League, he's still like 20 years old or something when he's been sent out to Villa on loan.
Well, it's like when he won Young Player of the Year and he'd been playing in the Premier League for about 8 years by that point.
Well, and the number of England under 21 caps he manages to accrue as well, because he's just been in there since he was 16. So he's one of those people who was around. He seems to have been around forever.
46 under 21 caps. That's a lot, isn't it?
It is ridiculous.
Because you're not under 21 for that long.
No.
Again, time.
Yeah, again, time. Yeah, just time. Time will
prevent. And he actually went on to get 61 full England caps. So you've got over 100 there with the 21s and the full squad, which is pretty wild. But yeah, so he ends up going to Villa on loan. Nobby Solano goes back to Newcastle from Villa,
which I'd completely forgotten about.
All sorts of shenanigans going on there. Yeah, and then so Milner goes back there under Glenn Roeder when his loan expires, but then he goes back to Villa after a couple of years at Newcastle. And then this one kind of came out of the blue a little bit, because you thought, all right, he's kind of settled into that middling group, he'll be fine. Man City suddenly drop a load of money on him.
Well, he was good. He was a very good player, yeah, I think.
Just, I think that, but nobody expected him to move for 26 million quid.
It was a very good
plus
Villa.
Stephen Ireland.
It was a really good Villa team, wasn't it? Where they had like Stuart Downing and, I mean, Stuart Downing. Some of age better than others. Ashley Young was there, though. It was quite an exciting young team of English players. And I suppose Young and Downing both did get big moves as well off the back of that, albeit their careers then went kind of different directions to Milner, who seems to carry on, just established himself at that level really easily.
And Man City at this point, they weren't the established force they are now, so they had to, they were buying players who, a bit like, I suppose they're in the same, almost the same position Newcastle are in now, in that the money's still relatively new, and they're having to kind of bridge the gap a little bit with not just going straight out and spending, you know, £100 million on the best striker in the world, but like people who can progress them to the next level. And, you know, Milner did that.
And suddenly, when he's at Man City, he then gets his two Premier League winners medals, and he's in the elite tier, isn't he?
And then he decides enough is enough.
Yeah, and then goes off, don't want any more of those, but then goes off to Liverpool on a freeze under Brendan Rodgers at that point. Man City did want to keep him, but I think he felt like he wanted to play, and to be fair, play he has. I think that he's hung in there.
I think that might be why we've kind of retained a sense of Leeds in him, because he's always kind of had this point to prove. It was at Newcastle where Souness said, we're not going to get very far with a team of James Milner's, so he always kind of held that against him to try and prove him wrong. And then again at City, he's having to prove himself among some much more expensive players, really, and he was kind of left on the bench. And his interviews with him in the past where he's talked about he'd be in his car after training in tears because he knew he just couldn't do much more, and yet he still wasn't getting picked. And then he went to Liverpool as a bit of a fuck you, I want to play central midfield, I want to actually play. He ends up playing left back there for a year under Jurgen Klopp. And even then he's brilliant at it, and he's so good at it to the point where he's first choice left back. And then he gets a place in midfield the following year, and that's when he's like breaking assist records in the Champions League, and he's the Yorkshire Figo and all this. Like, he's incredible, really.
Well, to return to Wayne Rooney, as we close out this show, he's the same age as Rooney, and look at the pair of them now. You know, one you would still consider to be an elite athlete, albeit in, you know, it's the autumn years of his career. However, he's still an elite athlete.
Yeah,
is this guy? But it's probably down to, you know, lifestyle, fitness, all sorts of other things, all those things that saw him good at school in the early stages of his career, the cross country, the sprint and all that.
Makes me wonder if I should be, have been teetotal.
Well, I was going to say, he doesn't drink,
until
does he?
Now. It does seem to have served him very well.
Served him very well. Is he boring as well? Because there's that James Boring Milner Twitter account, isn't there? That's great fun. And he's sent himself up with that. I think he's embraced it. And I think that's why he's lovable as well. He's not one of those kind of wallpaper vanilla footballers. He's got a bit of something about him.
I think that's the thing, because he's got a reputation as being boring, but actually just more interesting than most footballers, because he's got a bit of a brain and is which I think is quite a refreshing change. Like, I've never heard Wayne Rooney say anything interesting or funny, and James Milner can take the piss of himself in a way that Rooney can't. I mean, we've got a little clip of him, of James Milner receiving Christmas presents on a thing Man City did. He's quite a decent actor. If you ever saw Wayne Rooney do the wine advert, do you remember that, when he went, "They say there is a new devil in town"? He was barely able to read. Milner's good. He can do all sorts.
Tea bags.
Are they?
Well, we have PG tips.
PG what?
PG tips tea bags.
Why is it's a bit foreign, isn't it?
That one, not that on your list?
Well, tea bags, yeah, but I thought it was on the Yorkshire Tea that did tea bags.
Well, I think PG Tips is a fairly popular brand. I wouldn't think that there'd be any less.
I've never heard of them.
I mean, the quality will probably be as good as, if I dare say it, as good as, well, Yorkshire tea bags.
Uncle James will get a phone call anyway.
I know it's riled you a bit, that.
Yeah, well, it's a thought that counts, I suppose.
That's quite good, actually, isn't it?
He's very dour with it, but it's great. He's playing the role well.
He's done great.
I think that's another little thing that's always tied him back to the Leeds, is that he's never lost any of his Yorkshireness, has he?
It's back in the book, isn't it, as well? Ask a footballer, if you're in the supermarket, do you ever look at the price of anything? I'm from Yorkshire, so of course I do.
I screw my face at things. If it's kidney beans or whatever, I won't. But other times I look and think, how much? I'm not having that.
He even, because he speaks Spanish, and he only speaks to his kids in Spanish, so they've learned a different language. But I've seen him be interviewed by Spanish television before, and he speaks Spanish with a brilliantly Yorkshire accent.
And just to tie it up then, final thought on this one, going back to Shoot magazine, once asked him, has anybody in the squad given you a nickname?
He replies, everyone calls me James.
There you go. That is the TSB guide to James Milner.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.